Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Myron Glavak from the BusyEducator.com website. Today, my guest is Harry Wong. Harry Wong is a native of San Francisco and taught middle school and high school science. He's been awarded the Outstanding Secondary Teacher Award, the Science Teacher Achievement Recognition Award, the Outstanding Biology Teacher Award, and the Valley Forge Teacher's Medal. Harry Wong is the most sought-after speaker in education today. He has been called Mr. Practicality for his common sense, user-friendly, no-cost approach to managing a classroom for high-level student success. More than 1 million teachers worldwide have heard his message. With his wife, Rosemary, also an educator, they've written the best-selling book ever in education, The First Days of School, which has sold over 3 million copies. For more information on Harry's products and services, go to www.effectiveteaching.com or www.harrywong.com. It's my pleasure to welcome my friend and mentor, Harry Wong. Welcome, Harry.
Thank you, Marianne. It's good to talk to my dear friend, even though you're way up there in Chile, Canada, and I'm kind of here in warm California, but wherever educators gather, it's always a nice, loving, warm gathering. Thank you to all of you who wrote your questions into Marianne. They totaled single-space 8 pages, and it would be impossible to answer each one specifically. It would take days to go through, but in with the questions to many of you. Thank you for your kind words about me and the book. I'm glad it's been able to, I or the book have been able to help you. Marianne and I have had a discussion about these long list of questions you have, and I've come to the conclusion that what I would rather do is than to answer each question and perhaps slight some of you. I've pooled all of the questions into several categories because the questions, many of them, overlap and duplicate each other. And so I think I can almost answer all the questions by using another tack. I would prefer not to answer the question. I would rather give you examples of other teachers who have solved the very question you want solved. And then it is my wish that I know you can do it because you are a professional, that you will do exactly what they have done. And they have looked at my materials or the other people I have furnished as examples, and they have simply tweaked it and changed it and applied it to their classroom. And so while I'm talking, please get some paper and a pencil handy if you wish, because I'm going to give you lots of references that are easily found. I used to answer questions, and somebody would write to me and say, Harry or Dr. Wong, can you tell me what to do? I've got this situation. And many years ago, I would write back and I would say, why don't you try this? And I would try that. And I'd get a thank you, and then pretty soon they'd write me again. And I'd get another thank you, and pretty soon they'd write me again. And then they would say, it didn't work. Now, all of a sudden, you see, now it's my fault. And if you would read Unit E about people who are victims, you'll understand. And that is why I really no longer answer questions. I'd much rather show you teachers who have solved the problems, and I think you can do it also. So instead of asking, tell me what I'm supposed to do, in my book I make the statement, what is it that I need to know so that I can do what it is that I need to do? So I'm going to assume that you know what you need to do, so I'm going to share references to you so that you can then perhaps solve your own problem. And so, as I said, we have sorted all the questions into several categories, and the good news is no names will be mentioned. And so, Marianne, why don't you go ahead and with maybe the first category or question.
Okay, thank you very much, Harry. Well, the first question is, most of the questions have to do with discipline or behavior problems. That was a big item. I think it covered at least 4 of the 8 pages. Do you have any comments or advice to give teachers?
Yeah. Fred Jones is his name. Maybe some of you know him. He's written a very, very good book, and this is what he says. He says, talking and movement or transition constitute 80% of the discipline or behavior problems in the classroom. So if I can address my comments to discipline or behavior, I think I can help you solve 80% of your problems. Then the rest of you can take care of all the other things. I know that some of you have, I know that I feel for all of you. I can feel the frustration in your questions. Some of you have even gone so far as to name names. I'm not the last name, but you've even named kids. And you've told me about these single kids. And some of you gave me a whole list of kids. Or you've told me about their family or their financial background. And my advice is, please, don't do things to people. It's like, what do I do to this kid? Let me tell you about it. Don't do things to kids. Because you wouldn't like it if someone did something to you. I'd much rather you be proactive rather than to be a reactive teacher. It's not a case of winning battles and getting people to comply to you. You see, an effective teacher knows how to proactively manage a classroom with procedures. And that's how effective managers run their classrooms. Ineffective teachers will discipline the classroom with threats and punishments, and they're expecting to win battles, and they want compliance or else. And so, as I said, I feel for you. I know how some of you are at the end of the day. You want to say to yourself, I'm going to shave my hair and go into rehab. Some of you are probably saying, oh, I wish I could wake up in the morning and find my principal's picture printed on the side of a milk carton. Principals, if you're ever listening, we're just making fun. Right? You're a wonderful group of people. And I know some of you want to even call in sick. And when the person who monitors the substitute list says, why are you, what's your problem? You say, I'm suffering from anal glaucoma. And the person says, what's that? And you say, I just can't see dragging my rear end into work today. As I proceed through this, now I'm going to make an assumption. I'm going to make an assumption that most of you, if not all of you, have either, one, read my book, seen my video, or read my columns on teachers.net, and number two, most important, you know what is a procedure. And number two, you know how to teach a procedure. Now, I could tell by reading the questions, the dead giveaway of why some of you are having problems, because you say, well, I have procedures, Harry. And I tell them, and I tell them, and I remind them, and I remind them. And then I don't see the word rehearse. You see, in order to teach a procedure, there is a procedure to teach a procedure. And there are three steps, and it's all in chapter 20. And you need to teach, the most important thing is you need to rehearse the procedures. Now, the examples that I'm going to give you all come from www.teachers.net. I do not own teachers.net. It's owned, I think, by two guys in San Diego, California. And Rosemary and I simply write these columns 10 times a year. We've been doing it for over 7 years. And we do it with no pay. It's our contribution to education. And we have a style. Our style is we chronicle what successful schools, administrators, and teachers are doing. And we share their success story with all of you out there. Now, granted, these teachers have implemented the work from the first days of school. And so it's my belief that all of you can implement the work from the first days of school or go to these references that I'm going to give you, read how they do it, and then you can do your own. For instance, please write down November 2004. Now, you can find all of these dates in two ways. Either find the June column, which is an archive of all previous columns, or easier than that, on the very homepage of teachers.net, you'll see all kinds of things, but you'll see my column. It'll say effective teaching, and that's what Rosemary and I do. We want to help teachers become effective. Just click on that column, and you'll see this month's column, and then go clear to the end, and you'll see an archive of all past columns. Find November 2004. This is an article about Karzim Cicek. He came to America about 5 years ago from Turkey with a university degree in science, but no teaching credential and limited English capacity. He said he looked for a small city to learn English in. I don't know why he picked it, but he picked Tulsa, Oklahoma, to learn English, and he enrolled in the University of Tulsa. And while he was there, he saw an ad in the newspaper looking for, the school was looking for a science teacher. He said, oh, I have a science degree. So I applied. He said, lo and behold, I was hired. Now, this is his story. He says, I spent the first 3 years as a warrior. And that's basically the 4 or 5 pages that we got that many of you sent. I know many of you feel you're a warrior. And Karzim said, I was a warrior. For 3 years, I fought them, and they fought me. And then he says, between my third and fourth year, and I was seriously thinking of not even coming back into teaching for my fourth year, I saw this announcement of a free meeting sponsored by the Tulsa Education Foundation, and you were coming into town. So I said, what do I have to lose? So I went over there, and about 850 people in the auditorium listening to you speak. I did not know who you were, but it didn't take me long to have a light bulb moment. I had an inspiration. I had an aha. I had never heard the subject classroom management. I had also never heard the word procedures, but it made so much sense to me. And then this was a Thursday, and I had 4 days to prepare for my first day of school. So I went home and I prepared my classroom management plan. I prepared my script for the first day of school. And on the first day of school, I walked in with my classroom management plan and my first day of school script, and it was on PowerPoint. And his PowerPoint presentation is available if you will go to teachers.net, November 2004, and where it says click here, his entire presentation will come up. Well, at the end of the fourth year, I get a letter from Karzim. And with a smile on his face, you could read it in the email. He said, I have come to the end of my fourth year, and the wish that I wish my students, and you'll see this as the last slide of his PowerPoint presentation, he wished his students on the first day of school that they would have a wonderful year. He writes to me and he said, I have just had a wonderful year also, and I can't wait to start the next school year. And this was May. And so that's the story of Karzim. Now, if you're wondering what I'm talking about, please go to June 2000. And there you will see the story of Melissa. When I met her, she was Melissa Pantoa. She's now Melissa Boone Han. And she was a teacher outside of Oklahoma City, and I gave a preschool presentation. And at the end of the presentation, Melissa comes up to me and says, Mr. Wong, I'm a brand new teacher. I'm going to begin teaching on Monday as a first-year teacher. And this was Thursday now. And she says, I have something to give you. And she hands me her first day of school script. That's right. All football coaches go into a game having scripted all their plays, or their first 10, 20 plays. In other words, the problem in education is that we have many teachers who do not have a plan. A plan for the class that is announced to the class, so the class knows what is the plan. And that's why they come to school every single day saying, what are we going to do today? Why are we doing it? But what they like is consistency. And that's a word I use in my book. I play that over and over again. What kids want more than anything else is consistency. They don't want surprises. They want a safe room with no yelling or screaming. They just want to know what is going to happen. And so Melissa shared her script, and I have followed her career for the last 8 years. That's right. Half the teachers never make it through their first 5 years of teaching. She not only has made it through the first five, she's now in her eighth year, and I guarantee she's going to stay in education for the rest of her life. She is now a teacher leader with all kinds of responsibilities. She began with a script. Now go to February 2005. In fact, I just presented with her in North Carolina this past week to a group of people. Whenever I can spring her out of her classroom, I take her with me because she's authentic. By that I mean she's a new teacher. And if I can show an audience that a new teacher can succeed on the very first day of school, she's very convincing, because what she does is she shares with the audience for an hour her PowerPoint presentation of what she has for her students on the first day of school. And you can find this on February 2005. Her name is Shalanda Soroyer. She's a high school English teacher. And on the first day of school, she said, "I was scared to death, but I had a plan. I had spent 2 months pouring through the first days of school, and I came up with a script, a first day of school plan." And so on the first day of school, I was standing at the doorway greeting my students. Always stand at the door greeting the students. They have 7 seconds to make an impression of you and what you're going to do that day. She shook their hands, welcomed them into class, and she was nervous and scared. And then she had an eerie feeling. She turned around, looked into her classroom, and breathed a sigh of relief. Her students were all at their desks, all at work, and she had not even begun her first second of her first minute of her first day of her first year as a brand new teacher, and she was already a success. And if you read this column, you'll find out about her other successes and awards that she won in her first and second year of teaching. The next one I want you to go to is September 2001 and September 2005. It's about the same teacher. In September 2001, her name was Sarah Jones. In 2005, she's Sarah Jandahl. We met Sarah Jandahl when a friend of ours told us about her because her daughter was in her class and her daughter was just so happy. And this mother said, "And this teacher is using your methods." So we went over to see her. And this was October. This was a brand new teacher who had only been teaching 3 months. And as we went to her classroom and watched the class, our jaw just dropped. She was so effective. And she's a very quiet, unassuming lady. You could tell the kids were doing the work. They loved her. They knew what to do. There were no problems in the classroom. So what was going on? How did she do it as a brand new teacher? And so when the day came to an end and the students left, we said, "Sarah, you're amazing. You're marvelous. How do you do it?" And she says, "Come with me." And she went to her desk and she pulls this binder off the shelf. And she said, "I prepared this binder when I graduated from Western Kentucky University. It is my classroom management binder." And then she opens it and she showed us what she did. She showed us sample letters that she sent home. She showed us her daily closing message. She knows how to close a class. She showed us her bell work. She knows how to begin a class with a bell work. You always begin with an assignment on the board every single day with the students knowing where to find it. So they don't come in and say, "What are we going to do?" They know the procedure as to how to walk in the classroom and get to work. And then she showed us everything else she had in the binder. Well, she's now been in education 8 years, and that one binder has now grown to 2 binders, and she is truly a superior teacher. And then go to March 2005, and you'll see Ed Lucero. Ed Lucero is a veteran teacher, and he was going to quit after 12 years of teaching. And as he tells the story, his wife, Ruby, who teaches special ed, saw this in her husband and handed him a copy of the first days of school, and he said, "I read it during the summer, and I had a light bulb moment. I had an inspiration." He said, "Hey, I'm a high school teacher. I teach business. My students, many of them, most of them are not going to college. Most of them are going out into the world and going to work in a store or an office. And since I teach business, why not just turn my classroom into an office? Because all offices have procedures." So during the summer, he wrote a classroom management plan or an office plan with office or classroom procedures. And this plan is also downloadable if you go to March 2005 and read about the transformation of Ed Lucero. Now, that was 4 years ago. A month ago, Ed Lucero writes us a letter, and he says, "Harry and Rosemary, I just got National Board Certification." Wow. Here's another one, October 2004. Her name is Robin Zarzor. She is a preschool special ed teacher. The kids are not even in kindergarten yet. They're ages 3 to 5. And some of them are severely disabled to the point where there must be a nurse with the child 24 hours. And she has them. And her class runs as smooth as can be. So I know some of you may be saying, "Well, how can I have bell work? How can I have things on the board where my kids can't even read? Well, her kids can't read. So how does he do it? Her students sing the procedures. That's right. There is a snack song, a recess song, a lunch song, a good morning song, etc. Read about her. Read about the physical education teachers who don't have a chalkboard and how they get their students to do the work when they walk into the gym. It's in a recent teachers.net column. In fact, it could be this month or last month. I know some of you may listen to this months and years from now, but it's either February or March 2007. You'll see about the high school physical education teachers. And then here's another one, September 2004. It's about Heather Chambers, kindergarten teacher. The column is about how procedures save a teacher's life. One day during her pregnancy, she collapsed, hit her head against the table, was bleeding, and she would have died if the class did not know what to do. She had briefed the classroom on procedures of what to do if this happened to her. They knew instantly what to do, and they saved her life. She had procedures. She had procedures. Okay, so here are some more. I hope you're taking notes. Let's talk about movement. Then. So the first one probably will solve many of your noise problems, because the students just know what to do in the classroom. And there are several examples in the book, The First Days of School, as to procedures you can just very quietly signal. When the class gets a little too noisy, there are procedures that you use. I mean, I just raise my hand, and I'm a high school teacher, and I can have them quiet. Other people will hit a little chime. I know some people simply say, give me five, please. And many people use that procedure. I know a teacher who uses salami, which means stop and look at me. But the point is, what is your procedure, and do you rehearse and rehearse and rehearse? Okay, let's talk about movement or transition. But let's start clear at the beginning. How about transition into the school? Look on page 46 of The First Days of School. There is a school district illustrated that every year has a first day of school celebration. Picture, if you will, kindergarten students who come to school for the very first time in their life are invited to the school before the first day of school for a quote-unquote celebration where they are welcome, they're fed, the parents are with them, they can get a tour of the school, they get to meet the teacher that they're going to have, and the teacher takes them to their classroom and says, this is my name, and may even say, and when you come to school on Monday, look for me. I'm going to be wearing the same outfit so you can spot me. How wonderful. What a wonderful way to welcome people as they transition. And then how about Houghton, Louisiana High School? They have the same thing. They have a Camp Buccaneer where they invite students who are freshmen to school a week before and even furnish bus rides if you need. And in the morning, they're in the auditorium and they're taught the school yell, the school song, the spirit this, spirit that. They're introduced to everyone on the staff. They're given their schedule and their locker and their locker number. They're taken on a tour of the school. They get to meet the teacher. They get to see the cafeteria. They are shown how to use the cafeteria. And then they are broken up into about six or seven groups. And these groups rotate. And one group could be how to stay out of trouble. Another one would be how to study and earn good grades. Another one would be get into the spirit at Houghton High School. And so during the transition, these kids come to school and no one makes fun of them on the first day of school. Now go to December 2001, teachers.net, and read about Jeannie Bayless. Some of you wrote and said you don't have your own classroom, you have to move from room to room, or the kids come to you. No problem at all. Jeannie Bayless does not have her own classroom. She's an art resource teacher. From K to 6, the students come to her classroom, one class at a time. The teacher brings the students down to Jeannie Bayless's class, and she has them for 1 hour. And it takes her 2 weeks to cycle through the entire school. So the kids don't see her. She doesn't see the kids for 2 hours, for 2 weeks. And yet, when they come, she greets them in the hallway. That's right, you don't let them in your classroom. They are greeted in the hallway. They're all lined up. She smiles at them and tells them how wonderful it is that they're standing in line. no, not touching each other. And you can see on their eager faces, they can't wait for their art class. So he and she says, welcome to art. And they walk in, and we've watched her class. They know exactly what table to go to. Kindergarten kids who have not been in that room for 2 weeks know exactly what table to go to. And we watch them take inventory of the art supplies on the table. And then they begin. And while they're doing their hands-on activities, there's no bumping or shoving or pushing or spilling of anything. You know why? Because she has her classroom floor marked off in pathways with arrows indicating the flow of traffic. And the students know the procedures in the classroom. They have a wonderful time. Here's another one, September 2002. How to dispense materials in 15 seconds and get everything back at the end of the classroom period with nothing broken or stolen. That's right. Read that one. That's a procedure students are taught. And then go to October 2000. It's about Wanda Bradford. She's a principal in Bakersfield, California. And Wanda Bradford calls us one day and says, Harry and Rosemary, I want to thank you. I have just had the most wonderful, smooth-running first day of school I've ever seen in my entire life. And we said, what did you do? She said, I took your video series, and many of you have seen it. There are 8 videos in the series, and she said, I showed tape number 3 and 4. I will show the rest later on. And at the end of the video, my teachers all said the same thing. Of course, common sense. We need consistency. So as the students go from room to room, they all know what to do, and we support and help each other. And so we all agreed on 3 or 4 school-wide procedures, one of which is there will be an assignment, a bell work assignment on the board when the students walk in. So picture now, student walks into your classroom, there's a bell work assignment, they sit down, they get to work. I mean, what else do you want? The bell rings, they go to another class, there's an assignment on the board, they sit down, they get to work. They walk into another class, the teacher's there greeting over the door, they walk in, they sit down, they get to work. And that becomes the prevailing culture at your school. And we haven't spent a single penny. We haven't shuffled anyone's schedule. And I haven't tampered with anyone's philosophy or approach to teaching. All we have done is gotten everyone to work together as a team in a learning community to support and help each other. And the benefactors of this entire thing are the students. As a 6th grade boy told me, who goes to school in an at-risk community, a school that is located in an at-risk community, the school is not at risk, the community is. He said, I love coming to this school. Why? Because everyone knows what to do. You see, that's procedures. Procedures has to do with doing. Whereas the ineffective teacher is preoccupied with behavior, discipline, this one, that's all they talk about. Whereas effective teachers are always talking about what kids are doing, doing, achieving, achieving, accomplishing, accomplishing. And the only way you can get people to accomplish and achieve is you teach them what to do. There are procedures. And so this boy said, I love coming to school because everyone knows what to do. No one yells and screams at us, and we can get on with learning. And that's exactly what Wanda Bradford has done at her school, and her kids have achieved remarkably. The same column, October 2000, is about Pam Hawkins. She's the principal of a middle school, a junior high school. And what all the teachers did at the beginning of the school year is they all got together and they agreed on a blueprint for success, which is just a fancy way of saying they agreed on 5 procedures school-wide. Number 1 was all the students would be in their seats by the tardy bell working on the assignment. Number 2, they all agreed to spend some money to buy a book, an agenda book. They then taught the students the procedure of how to write their assignments down so they could keep track of their assignments. And at the end of the school year, 51% of the students made the student body in the first year of operation. And Pam Hawkins says, I attribute it to the consistent implementation of school-wide procedures. Here's another one, January 2002. It's about Brigitte Phillips and her school. When we met her, she had not lost a teacher in 7 years. No one leaves her. They're happy there. All right. Why? School-wide procedures. Go to that website. You'll see the entire school-wide procedure plan that they use at her school. And my advice to everyone is steal from everyone. But it's not stealing. It's sharing. And that's how why these people succeed. They go on the internet, on teachers.net, or in the book, and just see what other people are doing and simply adapt what other people are doing. You don't run around trying to put out one fire after another after another. You need to have a classroom management plan that is all-encompassing. And so, my last example is August 2007, which is not coming up yet. It is going to come up. In the August 2007 column, I'm going to write about Elmo Sanchez. Elmo Sanchez wrote us a letter in which he said, I want to tell you about my evolution from being an ineffective teacher to an effective teacher. He said he was hired to teach in this elementary school, fifth grade language arts, ESE, inclusion, ESOL. So he had some challenging kids, and he said, on my first academic school year, I struggled. My students spoke throughout the classroom. They wandered around the room. And he said, I soon found out I was using my loud and angry voice, and I would go home angry, and my family felt the direct effects. At the end of the school year, I reflected on my class, and I realized I was not too successful. He even labeled himself a failure or an ineffective teacher because he knew his classroom lacked structure. And as a professional, he was disappointed himself, he says, and I needed to make some changes. By luck, he said, the school system, and this is Miami, they have a summer conference, and I signed up. And he can remember the day. It was Friday, June 9, and I was sitting in this auditorium thinking to myself, is this going to be another one of those long in-service presentations that I'm going to have to endure? Well, he says the answer was no. He says I was captivated. Harry Wong and Shalanda Saroya were presenting their plan on classroom management. And then, as he says, I had a light bulb moment. I sat there and I could visualize the strategies that would get me back to improving the way I teach. He said I could visualize the whole thing, and by the end of the seminar, changes were already running through my mind. I went home and I stole these ideas. I stole Shalanda Saroya's procedures and everything else. And on June 9, he says, my life as a professional teacher was transformed. He said it took me a month to develop my classroom management PowerPoint. But he says, now picture this. It's now Monday, August 14, the first day of the second year of my teaching. And what a difference. I opened the door at 8:15, greeted my students with an extended right hand. I shook the student's hand. I said, welcome to our class. I am glad you are here. My students greeted me back with warm smiles. I projected the Bellwork assignment as a PowerPoint presentation, and by the time I closed the door, there was silence in the classroom, and all of my students were actively working. I could not believe it. After the students completed the Bellwork, I introduced myself to the students, and I used the PowerPoint presentation to explain my class. By the end of the day, my students were following the classroom procedures, and when the dismissal bell rang at the end of the day, no one got up. They all waited for me to dismiss them, and it was only the first day of school. By the end of the day, peace was with me. I had an upbeat attitude. I went home happy. For the first time in my professional career, I had a feeling that what was missing from my life for a long time had come back. My family noticed the difference in me, and I liked the new, happier me. I came to love my profession after the first day of school, and my students felt safe in the classroom atmosphere that I had created. Last year, I was a stressed-out teacher with a chaotic classroom. Now I feel that I'm an effective teacher with a structured classroom. My students are happy to come to my classroom. The parents are asking, what are you doing that causes my child to become so engaged in your class? My child wants to come to your class even though they are sick. My secret recipe is having a structured classroom procedures. And it's signed Elmo Sanchez, Miami, Florida. And so, if you get your procedures in place, you will now have time to devote yourself